like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have a roll call, please.
Cool.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Boyle.
Here.
Leavitt.
We have the correspondence for the wastewater management plan, which we're going to hold off until our next meeting on the 7th. And there's a reminder that it is on it's a Wednesday then.
Correct.
That week, not the Tuesday due to the election, which gives us council appearances. The first one we have is Warren County Community College. Dr. Austin, sorry, I didn't even recognize you sitting there with your head.
That's all right. You were busy. I want to thank you for having us come out and tell you a little bit about the college. The great news is I'm not here to ask for anything, so I will not be making any requests this evening. Very quickly, I'll just kind of go through this book. There are some at the back if people in the audience would like to have them as well. The college is required by law to put out an annual report, and we've been spending the last year going around to the various municipalities rather than just write this up and never do anything with it to tell you a little bit about the college. If you turn to page 4, very quickly, and again, I'm not going to read this to you. I'll just give you kind of the highlights. The college, in a lot of, we are a public entity, but many people think we're part of state government or county government. We're technically neither. We are an independent body, an autonomous government agency that is overseen by a board of trustees by law in the state of New Jersey. And as you can see here, these are the officers of the board. Craig Dana is a municipal judge and a retired attorney. Peter Schmidt is a longtime educator at a private school. Elizabeth Gittens is a scientist. And Betty Singh, who lives in the Washington borough, works in the employment industry. Each of these trustees is appointed to a four-year term. Two are appointed by the governor of the state. Eight are appointed by the freeholders, and right now we don't have one, but should we have a county superintendent of schools, they serve on the board by statute. So this is the group that kind of makes up the oversight of the board and represents the public. On page 5, you can see we have certain strategic and institutional goals. We're actually in the process of rewriting those at this particular moment, so I'm not going to go into them. If you turn to pages 6 and 7, basically, the county college enrollment pretty much mirrors the county population. There isn't much difference there. Right now, as the number of individuals graduating from the local high schools begins to diminish, we're changing our marketing strategy. So we do have a slight decrease this year in enrollment, probably about 4%. It's the first one that we have had in since probably about 1999 at the college in terms of an enrollment decline. Most of the other community colleges started having enrollment declines a year or two ago, but because my guess is because we opened a new facility in Phillipsburg, that kind of took things and made the enrollment kind of continue to rise. In terms of our fall enrollment, it's difficult for us at this particular moment to make all kinds of long-term trends because in 2003, when I became president, we had three semesters. We had a fall, a spring, and a summer. Now, for our credit-bearing classes, we have three fall semesters, three spring semesters, and three summer semesters. So we started late start in the fall, and we also have a weekend college in the fall and spring. So it makes it a little bit more difficult because we don't know how many students we're going to have probably until almost December at this point. But enrollment is extremely healthy, well over 2,000 students at this point as well. It's good that we're bringing in the students to the credit program. What's better is on pages 8 and 9, the graduates continue to increase. So this past May, we had 293 graduates coming through the college, and that ranks us, according to Governor Christie's higher education report, that ranks us at the highest graduation rate for any community college in New Jersey. Everyone says that they have the highest graduation rate in some of their literature. I don't know who really does. I just know that Tom Kane chaired that committee, and Tom Kane says Warren has it. So I'm going to go with that as the answer, because he's independent. Everybody else is not. So that's where we are in terms of getting students out, and we're very happy with that. On pages 10 and 11, we have done some major expansions and some changes. We put a new library in the Washington campus, and everyone, if you're not aware, one of the nice things about our colleges, our library is open to any member of Warren County Public. They can come in and get a library card, take out books, or use any of the facilities, whether they're tuition-paying student or not. It is a completely open environment over there. Our internet is Wi-Fi over there at the entire college, and it is open. We do hold an open Wi-Fi, so anyone from the public can also come in and use the internet there at the college as well. And, of course, there are computers available. We opened the new site in Phillipsburg, and I'll come back to that. Specialty programs, we did open in 2011 an automotive program, which filled within 3 days. We did that in conjunction with the tech school. We're currently working on a culinary arts program in conjunction with the tech school using their facilities. But our biggest and newest program that's going to take place will be kicked off on Veterans Day, and that will be a new initiative for our returning servicemen, mainly, or anyone who ever served in the military. And what we have done is come up with a partnership with Thomas Edison, where we will be credentialing all of the training that people got while they were in the military, while they were serving our country. So they will come in. Most of our students who come in under this kind of program, who have extensive tours of duty, will probably take only one semester to get an associate degree. We'll be able to credential that many credits for them, and they will immediately be enrolled and working simultaneously on their bachelor's degree at Thomas Edison College. And so that's something we're very proud of. We think that's going to be a very good program. Our board has made a decision that regardless of residency, anyone who is a veteran for our country will receive in-county tuition at the college as well. So we're trying to do our best to help those returning servicemen and women that are coming back. Pages 12 and 13, this is our, a lot of times people think of the college, they think about somebody gets a bachelor's degree. Our largest part of our mission and operation is actually continuing education, or our non-credit program. You can see we have about 2,000 credit students, and then if you look on page 13, you can see here we range anywhere from probably a low in the last couple of years of about 3,700 to 5,400 students that are in the continuing education program, and this could be workforce development programs, it could be health career programs where people are credentialed and given a health career credential. It could be customized training where we go out to local employers and give training to the employees directly, and it may also be summer camps for children during the summer. And we have an excellent staff over here, I know, because someone's spouse is on your council.
That'd be me, for the record.
Before you were on council, your wife worked for us, just for the record. In terms of grants, the college does bring money that we pay in taxes back into the community in terms of federal grants or state grants that come into the students. We also have received grants from the Department of Health and Human Services and the federal Perkins loan that have helped us expand our nursing program. Page 15 is the page most people are usually interested in, this kind of accountability. What do you do with the money that comes in, and how much money comes in? Essentially, 2008 was the high water mark for public funding of higher education in New Jersey. So in 2008, our county aid was $2.2 million, and our state aid was about $2.3, almost $2.4 million. You can see that has diminished. That hasn't really been a problem for us. You can see, if you look at tuition and fees, about $6 million, or about half of all of our revenue, comes from direct pay from the students. About $2.2 million came from the state last year, and right now the county aid, this is a little off, in FY 2012 is $1.8 million. So we've become less reliant on public funds, like many government agencies, more reliant on others. If you look there at the other category, you see $1.6 million. That makes up all of the money that we've lost from these public entities. To give you a sense of how much that has grown, I became president in 2003, and our other revenue at that time was $88,000. So we have actively pursued other forms of revenue to kind of balance off any kinds of cuts in public funding And we don't anticipate that that public funding is going to come back. We anticipate this is a new way we're going to be doing business in all public sectors. Where do we spend the money? Very simply put, if you look at the little, I don't know what color that is. I would call it orange, but it's probably not. That little pie piece there that says administration and overhead, $1.1 million, that's about 10% of our budget. 10% of our budget is spent on administration and overhead. 90% of our budget is spent directly on students and education. So what does this all mean? We can say with absolute certainty that we are the lowest publicly funded community college in New Jersey with the highest return on investment, if you measure that in terms of enrollment growth, people served, and outcomes in terms of graduation. So we're very happy about that. Finally, to be brief, at the end, page 16 and 17, 16, we do run a private 501c3 foundation that exists to fund the college, and that has doubled in size in the past 9 years as well. Our biggest event of the year is the Warren County Hall of Fame, where we honor local residents for what they have accomplished in Warren County, and that will be this Saturday night at Hawk Point. Simultaneously, we do a number of things at the college for students. A lot of our student clubs are really designed around going back into the community and helping various community agencies. That's what our students tend to do. And you can see a number of individuals there, not me, but B.J. Ward is from the Washington Borough. He's one of your own. He's one of our faculty members. And he was voted in the Star Ledger as one of the top 10 artists in New Jersey making a difference who wasn't named Bruce Springsteen. So we're very proud of him, as you should be as well. And he's been recognized many times by the New York Times. One of his students at the bottom, Tristan Cicerin, has had his work put in permanently in the Library of Congress down in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So our students have accomplished a great deal, and I am here to answer any questions you might have. And thank you for your time as we tell you a little bit about what we do at the college.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Questions?
What is the ecotourism program?
The ecotourism program is a rather small program that we continue to try to grow every year. It's one of our four major centers that we're trying to expand. Healthcare is one. Criminal justice is another. The creative writing arts is, and this is the fourth one and the last one put in. And the notion is we have so much beauty here in Warren County, so much ability to bring economic dollars into the county by respecting the environment, that we're training students how to do that, how to become entrepreneurs, how to develop businesses locally that take advantage of everything we have here that's an asset in Warren County, but still respecting the environment at the same time and trying to bring people in for the day, and we know that people in the community often want those same people to go home when they're done visiting us. Mm-hmm. So that's the nature of that program.
So is that like a semester program, or is that like a weekend seminar?
You would get a degree in that program, and there are various courses in it. So you wouldn't have to get a degree; you could take just courses in doing things like that. So there may be things that we're doing in kayaking or fishing, and we often work with the Pequest Fish Hatchery with some of their programs as well.
So how long is that program?
Well, if you're going to get a degree, it's a two-year program.
Two-year program.
Wow. Right. First of all, I want to say,
Will, please.
Okay, Will. Just want to say that Betty Singh couldn't make it. She said she wanted to be here, and just wanted to let you know. She really
well, I work for her, so I'll do that.
Okay. But I'm familiar, of course, with the expansion program a little bit, but maybe everyone else is not. I understand that Phillipsburg opened up as the next phase, and there was talk of another phase three in Hackettstown. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Happy to do that. They're actually on the ballot this November will be a higher education bond question. There'll be two public questions that I'm aware of. One will be, should judges pay for their health care? That will be one the public will vote on. And the other one will be, should there be an expansion of academic facilities in higher education? Should that pass statewide, then we would get probably about $4 to $5 million from the state over the course of the next year. And what we would do then is has always been the plan to have one center in Phillipsburg, the original campus, which will remain the central campus in Washington, that won't change, and then another center in Hackettstown in hopes of kind of bringing the college into the various communities that we serve rather than wanting those communities to come to a centralized location. It's, we think with Hackettstown, we can serve Blairstown better in the upper portion of the county. It's very difficult for people to get there to Washington. Most of them probably either go to Morris or Sussex at this time, only because of gasoline prices and time constraints on driving around the mountains. So we're hoping that that center will also be able to serve those residents in a better way as well.
Okay. And so where's that, sit right now? I mean, it's still on the table and...
Still absolutely 100% on the table, and the piece of land that it would be built on is right next to the Hackettstown Hospital. There's an actual piece of land that we have access to.
And it would be basically health-related?
Well, it would be, the major component there would be health-related, but like anything else, if we're offering health degrees, we have to offer almost every other class at the center as well. So nursing would move into that area. We would look to put nuclear medicine in. We would look to put ultrasound-type programs in because we would be able to do that. We'd be able to use the staff at the hospital to do that. The same way we moved our non-credit medical down into the Phillipsburg area, and then former Warren Hospital, St. Luke's, can help out with that facility. Because, I mean, one of the biggest challenges that we have in higher ed right now is all of these medical programs take individuals with certain degrees to teach in them. So there's a big push now to have everyone require a Bachelor of Science in Nursing to be a nurse. If that goes through, there aren't any four-year universities offering such a degree around us in New Jersey. You'd have to go over into Pennsylvania and pay an exorbitant rate. Mm-hmm. For us to move in that direction and partner and bring someone in, we would literally need someone who had a doctorate in nursing, which is, it's very hard to find someone with a master's degree in nursing right now. So our hope is by doing these kind of medical centers, we could actually train people, bring in a university partner that would give masters and doctorates to these healthcare professionals at the same time, and those people then feed in to be able to teach our local residents to create the nurses and healthcare professionals we'll need to take care of a population that is aging in Warren County.
Great. So the bottom line is we should all vote for this bond.
I really appreciate it if you did, but please vote your conscience.
One other thing, you were talking about the event you're doing over at Hawk Point.
Yes.
Could you expand on that a little bit more?
Sure. Every year, it's about 3 years old now, we have a program where it's the Warren County Hall of Fame, where members who are in the Hall of Fame get together and they actually pick individuals that they think in various industries, could be healthcare, could be education, could be business and industry, could be public service, could be hospitality, could be tourism. In Warren County, could be the arts, and they say these are the newest members. We run a fundraiser. All of those people go into the Hall of Fame, graciously lend us their name. They go into the Hall of Fame for Warren County, and any of the proceeds that are made in that event go towards student scholarships.
So it's like, well, like a dinner event? Or?
It's like exactly.
Oh, very good. And that is when?
That is this Saturday evening.
So do you ever, because I've never even heard of these things, do you ever, do any type of any PR about them?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it in the Warren Reporter when they drop it off at my house.
I do believe we're in the Washington Messenger for that as well.
Okay.
On WRNJ, and I think it's spread time.
Yes, I just don't know. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you.
I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And next we have Victor Cioni, our rec chair, annual report.
It's a good report, right, Vic?
I hope so.
You know it.
Depends on your interpretation. I also want to give you this. We created a survey, an online survey, that we're going to send out to all of the registrants for each sport, any activity that we have, so this way we get feedback right away from the parents, stuff like that. So we just completed that, and we just sent it out to the runners of the 5K race that we just had. Well, first, before we get started, I'd really, really, really like to introduce you to our new recreation director, Melissa Holmes. Melissa comes to us with a wealth of experience, and she's also been a member of the Recreation Commission. So she really has the inside, feel for what we're trying to do.
So she's been a tremendous asset to us when she was on the commission, and she's a tremendous asset as a director. So I'm really excited about this going forward. So with that, I don't want to take up too much of your time. So every year we're going to be doing this at the end of the season to do a recap. So some of the things, I'll read through it as quickly as I possibly can. The pages are numbered, so if anybody has any questions, either ask the question if it's specific to a topic we're covering or hold the questions to the end. Either way is fine with us. So Recreation Commission would like to present to the borough a state of recreation affairs for all that's been done the past 18 months or so. The entire commission has worked as a team, along with the borough manager, DPW, volunteers, and the borough mayor and council to take Washington Borough Recreation to the next level. Highlights of recent accomplishments. We've completely renovated our snack bar, sell a larger selection of food to the pool patrons, as well as we updated the electrical. The pool has a new well pump, which was never replaced as part of the recent renovations. It was installed in 2011 season. As a result, we did not require water to be donated, plus we're able to top off the pool whenever we need to. The pool pump house has a new roof courtesy of the generous funds provided by Borough Council. We've made much needed improvements to the pool house restrooms. We recently completed complete replacement of the crumbling concrete decking adjacent to the baseball grandstand, saving an estimated $5,000 by doing the work with volunteers. We've purchased and installed a new circulation pump after the existing pump failed. We had another volunteer day this past May, 3/8, as we had done it last fall. With the numbers of volunteers, which included kids from Warren Hills High School and some of the area Boy Scouts, we accomplished too many things to actually list. We were able to also secure many local donations of supplies and materials so that monies did not need to be used from Recreation Trust. We were able to completely restore the children's playset areas and swings with mulch needed, with much needed play mulch and landscape, well, we didn't do the landscape ties actually, as well as very much needed power washing. This cleaning will be done in the spring and fall each year. The pool officially opened Friday, June 15th, and we finalized our pool season September 2nd. We ordered an additional 10 new pool umbrellas because we had none remaining in working condition, and because it was after season, we were able to get them at 50% off. So we're looking to possibly rent them next year to patrons, so we have to discuss that. We've made repairs to the pool vacuum so that it operates efficiently. It hadn't been properly maintained prior to that. We have applied for a recreation trails grant to jumpstart the Railroad Avenue Park project. The goal is to install a simple walking path around the perimeter and use this as a catalyst for phase development as funds permit. We've not heard back, which generally is bad news. They don't necessarily alert you, so we have to follow up with that. Sure.
We actually just found out this week that they definitely will let us know either way, so it's not quite yet bad news that we haven't heard of anything.
We were originally told that they would let us know in September. We received a Clean Communities grant, which enabled us to purchase new waste and recycle receptacles for Borough Park, all of which have now been installed. We've added much new signage to Varra Field, Steinhardt Field, Borough Park, Route 31 embankment, 6 wayfinding signs strategically around town, as well as an additional sign for Broad Street entrance, all of which were donated. We worked in conjunction with Washington Borough Youth Baseball Volunteers and Youth Soccer and our own DPW to alleviate the drainage issues at Steinhardt and Vera Fields. And most of the equipment and things needed for that project were donated, so we didn't have to pay for any of that. Our shark swim team only had 25 swimmers sign up this year, down from 69 in 2011. However, a few of the kids qualified for the championships, and we feel the team will rebound nicely in 2013 as we have effective coaches in place now. We were very fortunate to host the 2012 Penn Swim Team Championships at our own borough pool this summer. We showcased our facilities and entertained an estimated 3,000 people, which was interesting to park them all. We renovated the storage room in the grandstand so that we can now sell some food items from the grandstand. This provides us with another food venue for baseball/softball events. And we created our Washington Borough Facebook page, which now has over 230 friends. We'll continue the child swim lessons program, which has been very favorable, and also offer sessions in the evenings for working parents. Last year, for the first time, we did an aggressive marketing campaign aimed at residents outside of Washington Borough. We sent a mailer in mid to late May time frame, as well as a full double-sided ad in the Washington Messenger sent to homes around June 1st. This year, we mailed out postcard flyers to 9,000 area residents from Glen Gardner to Washington Township. We write a monthly article in the Washington Messenger that's widely distributed and consistently sends a positive message about Washington Borough Recreation. We created a Little Hoopsters basketball clinic during the past winter at Taylor Street School. This program was for kids from K to second grade. The response was so positive, we actually had to add a second session. We've engaged in numerous fundraisers and have solicited donations from Kiwanis, Rotary, and many other generous people and businesses. This year, 2012, we started a tennis clinic in conjunction with Warren Hills Tennis. Again, this program was a huge success, and we're looking to expand it next year. We've made it a priority to represent recreation in a professional manner at various borough events. We just actually had the festival in the borough last week. We had a table set up there, and Melissa manned it for most of the day. Handed out a lot of applications for programs. And we've updated the recreation pages and forums to have the most accurate and up-to-date information. Just a few more. I won't bore you with accomplishments. It's nice to have accomplishments.
It is.
The Recreation Committee has implemented new bylaws to be followed by all members. The bylaws were ratified by Borough Council in 2012. We started the process of state and national background checks on all coaches and assistant coaches of all borough-sponsored programs. The Commission created members' manual for all sports programs, liaison roles and responsibility guidelines so that new members could quickly be brought up to speed on their respective sport and activity. And we've created a recreation director review form and process to be completed each year by all commissioners. And we present certificates of appreciation to any donor to show our appreciation of their generosity. Now, some misses. Now, most presentations only tell you about the positives, but I want to be completely honest, and there were some misses. We attempted the Aqua Zumba program for August, but the program was placed on hold because Aqua Zumba is so popular, I was unable to secure a teacher. We'll start much earlier next season because this could be a very popular program. I've actually started the process a couple of months ago while the pool was still open for next year, because I honestly didn't anticipate it being so popular that out of 30 people I contacted, none of them could teach. So we will have a teacher in place next season, and we will have Aqua Zumba in place next season. The teen pool party we'd started last year had to be canceled due to lack of patronage. We had minimal success last year, but we hoped with continued advertising in the schools, flyers around town, as well as marketing campaign, it would grow in year two. That didn't actually happen, unfortunately, because we wanted to expand the options for kids during the summertime at night. Men's basketball, again, drew no interest, and the program had to be canceled despite much advertising on our part. Program memberships, page 8. This is just the snapshot comparisons that everybody wants to see. We can go through them if you'd like. Essentially, softball, girls softball, we had about the same number of participants. Our total revenue was increased in 2012 to $3,540. Our expenses were lowered, so our total profit loss was to about $2,000. In some years, this is going to fluctuate because of more equipment that needs to be purchased, so just keep that in mind. Karate, 2012 was a huge success. We actually more than doubled our numbers from 2011, so our profit loss was more than triple of what we had last year. And we actually do get a lot of out-of-town residents to participate in this. So this year we actually did something a little bit different, because we always found that in phase three, you know, the third stage of karate, that our numbers were dwindling because it was competing with springtime sports. So we actually shifted everything forward a little bit so that the third phase still is at the end of winter. Soccer, if you notice, the soccer numbers definitely are down this year, from 152 last year to 109 this year. Total revenue is also down. Expenses are lower than last year because last year we did a lot of equipment purchases. So overall, our profit and loss is actually higher this year than it was last year. page 9. Swim team, this is important because swim team numbers were down. We had 69 last year, we had 25 this year. And there's a lot of reasons why that happened, but at the end of the day, the feedback we did get from the parents was that it was a very positive experience, and they think that they're going to have a lot of people that had left last year to go elsewhere will come back this year. So we looked at this year as sort of a rebuilding year. And I think hosting the Penn Jersey Relay has really, really helped our chances of recruitment. Also, if you remember, in order to be on the swim team, you have to join the pool. So you'll look, when we get to the pool numbers, our actual memberships are less, and that's our main result. So if you took those extra 50 kids that would have had to join the pool, that's a huge amount of money for us. So we actually lost a little bit with swim team, but again, we're optimistic it's going to be very popular next year. Swim lessons, again, continue to be very popular. We had less numbers this year, but the feedback I got was very, very positive. I actually had one woman stop me in front of my house, roll down her window, and start shouting at me how great the swim lessons were. So, I mean, I'll take that. It's better than shouting other things at me. Again, the swim lesson numbers are very profitable. Field hockey we actually canceled this year because last year we only had 10 kids. This year we only had one kid register. So it doesn't make sense. We want to still keep the program alive, but I think it competes with a lot of other programs, so it's kind of difficult for us to maintain it. Youth basketball, the numbers, again, a little bit down from last year. However, we did incur more expenses this year as well because we had to go purchase half of a scoreboard because of a scoreboard that was damaged. The scoreboard was at Memorial School. Street hockey numbers were again down. And again, the reason that our profits are less is because of the other half of the scoreboard was paid for. So actually, we paid for half, so it's really a quarter went towards youth, came out of youth basketball, another quarter came out of street hockey, because they both used the Memorial School. So that sort of skews the numbers a little bit. But we're already taking sign-ups for street hockey and youth basketball now. Tennis clinic, again, was a new program that we started. We initially only wanted 20 kids because we weren't sure what the size was going to be like, but we actually stopped at 24 and we had to turn people away. The feedback we got was so positive that, in speaking with the tennis coach, they want to actually double the program and expand it to almost all of the courts next year. So we're looking at 40 kids next year potentially, and we're going to increase the age limits. So again, the feedback I got from interviewing the parents after the fact was very positive. So this next slide, number 11, is some unexpected expenditures. These are things that happen every year that obviously are not budgeted for.